Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Are you drawn to the dark? Do you find yourself enticed in the forbidden and ominous? Join me, Steph, as I explore all things menacing and malevolent in my podcast, Sinister Story Hour. I discuss true stories of cults and crimes with the occasional urban legend. I also dedicate episodes to missing persons in the United States. And you could be the missing link to provide information and clues that will help to bring them home. Join me every week for a new story. Come on in, sit down, and get ready, because it's story time.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back to another episode. Today we have the further adventures of the Dark Venture. If you enjoy this episode, please check out volumes 1 and 2 in the archives, as well as over 300 episodes of mysteries, thrillers, comedies, and more. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider following, reviewing, and rating. All that really goes a long way to help the show out. And with all that, please enjoy.
Good evening, Creep. Welcome to the Mystery Playhouse. Creeps over the minds of mortal men come many shadows, shadows of greed and hate, jealousy and fear. Darkness is the absence of light, though in the sudden shadows which fog the minds of men and women are to be found the strange impulses which urge them into the unknown. Listen now to Turnabout, tonight's venture in the dark.
My motive for killing Marvin Rice was really quite commonplace. Fear, hatred, envy. Now let's skip the motives. The part I find fascinating was the actual crime itself. It was so original. So amazingly clever, if you'll pardon me saying it. There wasn't a flaw in it anywhere. There wasn't the slightest chance in all the world that it would fail. And it didn't fail. Yet downstairs in the prison courtyard, they're testing a gallows built especially for me. As I said, my motive for killing Marvin was in no way unusual. He and I were partners in an exporting business. And for a long time, I had helped myself to considerably more than 50% of the profits. When Marvin found it out and added it up, it came to something like $50,000. But I think he was really more shocked at my reasons for taking the money than anything else.
You mean you spent all this money on another woman?
But what about Ellen?
What about her?
Well, she's your wife.
Oh, don't try to figure it out, Marvin. It's quite complicated. You see, I'm not like you. I can't trot home to my suburban paradise every night to sit by the fireplace in my bedroom slippers and jabber about the petunias. You can. So that makes your Francis luckier than my Ellen.
But cheating on your wife. That's the worst part. That's the part I can't forget.
No speeches, Marvin, please. I'm not in the mood.
Oh, you're not in the mood, eh? In that case, I'm sorry I even brought the matter up. Or perhaps you are in the mood to tell me what you're going to do about this $50,000 shorty.
I don't know. I'll think of something.
I see. Well, what day is this, Richard?
May 20th. Why?
May 20th. I'm circling June 1st on my death calendar. If you haven't replaced the money by then, I'll put you in jail.
Jail? You wouldn't do that, Marvin.
You want to bet?
No.
In the meantime, no one will know about the shorty. We'll continue working in the office as we always have. Until the 1st.
Partners to the end.
After stealing $50,000, what did you expect me to do, Dick? Offer you my congratulations?
As soon as I left Marvin's office, I telephoned the lady I'd spent the money on. She was very understanding. She assured me she'd hock all the things I'd bought her, and she told me to come to her apartment that same evening to pick up the money. When I got to the apartment, I found the only vacancy in the city of Los Angeles. She'd run out, all right. I telephoned Marvin right away.
So, she ran out on you, huh? That's too bad. I've still got June 1st circled on my calendar.
But, Marv, listen to me. You've got to give me a little more time.
June 1st.
But I can't...
I asked my lawyer just what the penalty in this state was for embezzlement. Do you know it runs as high as 10 years?
Well, what good would it do you to put me in jail? You still wouldn't have the money.
It's not entirely the money thing. As I told you before, I can't forgive a man who would steal money to cheat on his wife.
But, Marv...
June 1st.
During the next week, I found that lifting $50,000 is a lot easier than raising $50,000. There wasn't a chance in the world of getting that money. Oh, but I knew when it came to a showdown, Marvin wouldn't send me to prison.
You want to bet?
10 years. He wouldn't lock me away for 10 years.
You want to bet?
10 years. Everything gone. No, I couldn't let him do that to me.
You want to bet?
I'd kill him first. I'd kill him. Yes, I'd have to kill Marvin. The thought drifted into my mind with the ease of an old friend. I'd have to kill Marvin. There was no other way. But how? Without bringing suspicion on myself. I went downstairs for a cup of coffee and found the answer tacked to a cash register in a little cafe. Waiter.
Yes, sir?
That sign. If the coffee's weak and the steak is tough, blame Sally. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that before.
That's just a gag the manager cooked up. I figured if the customers blamed Sally, they wouldn't pick on us.
But what about Sally? She must take a lot of punishment.
That's just it. You see, there isn't any Sally. Need more coffee, sir? I said, more? Huh? Say, more coffee?
No more coffee. But thanks anyway. Yeah. Thank you very much. And so I found my plan of murder. If the customers blamed Sally, they wouldn't pick on us, and they couldn't pick on Sally if there wasn't any Sally. There was something else so fascinating about the idea. Marvin Rice, the ideal husband who despised me so for cheating on my wife, Marvin Rice, was going to be killed by another woman. Now, really, wasn't that a perfectly wonderful idea? I went back to the office. It was after closing time, and Marvin was on the 6:15 Suburban Special headed for Palmdale, his wife Frances, and the petunias. The office was empty except for Miss Brown, Marvin's secretary. She was working on some reports. Well, this was as good a time as any to begin. I went into my private office, but I didn't close the door. Without picking up the receiver, I started dialing our own number. I felt like a kid starting a snowball down a hill. Miss Brown didn't hear me dial, but she did hear the phone ring an instant later. I picked up the receiver. Moved my lips as though I were talking. So I hung up. Miss Brown?
Yes, sir?
That call was for Mr. Rice. Better tell him about it tomorrow.
I'll leave a note on his desk. Who was it?
Somebody named Sally.
Sally?
Yeah, no last name, no middle initial, just Sally. Said she was a friend. I don't know. She sounded kind of mad. After Miss Brown left for the day, I called the Bartlett Hotel. I reserved a room for the following night in the name of Mr. and Mrs. Marvin Rice, and I told the clerk to be sure to have a good bottle of wine in the room and two glasses. And I called a ticket agency and reserved two seats for the Ice Follies for Mr. and Mrs. Marvin Rice. Later, I went to a hock shop in Skid Row and persuaded the kindly clerk to sell me a $20 revolver for $100. I was just about all set. The next morning, I got a quick look at Marvin's appointment book and saw he was going to be out from 11 to 1. I went down to the cigar store, closed myself in a telephone booth, and dialed Western Union. Hello, Western Union. I want to send a telegram to Mrs. Marvin Rice, Palmdale, California. Here's a message. Won't be home tonight. Busy with Barnes and E.S. on new catalog. Call at noon and we'll explain. See you tomorrow, Marvin. No, make that love, Marvin.
Harry Spiller's shop?
This is Marvin Rice calling.
Yes, sir.
I want you to send a nice orchid corsage to my wife. Send it to the Bartlett Hotel, room 612. Charges my account. And enclose this note. To my Sally, without you, life has no meaning. Love, Marvin. I got back to the office a few minutes after 11. Marvin had already gone to his conference when his wife, Frances, called. I took the call.
Dick, I was so surprised when I got the wire this morning.
Wire?
Yes, from Marvin. Telling me you two would have to work all night on the new catalog.
Hmm?
My heavens, I didn't think the catalog was coming out for another 6 months.
What is it?
Then why work all night?
Oh, I'm working on some reports of my own tonight, but I...
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Marvin didn't say anything to me about working.
I have the wire right here in my hand.
Oh. Well, as a matter of fact, Marv told me he was leaving early tonight. Look, as soon as he comes in, I'll have him call you. I'm sure he'll be able to explain everything. Marvin, your wife called while you were around.
Oh?
Yeah, her mother's taken ill.
Ill?
Oh, it's nothing serious. But Frances is going to spend the night with her.
Oh, well, I'd better call Frances up and find out what's wrong.
Well, you won't be able to reach her. She was just leaving the house for the train when she called. She said for you to stay in town tonight.
In town?
Mm-hmm.
Where does she think I'm going to get a place in town this late?
Well, if you like, I can get a room for you somewhere.
Well, okay, you'd better do it.
All right.
By the way, how's the money-raising situation?
Hmm?
You know, June 1st is only 2 days away.
Oh, that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Marvin, you know, I think I figured a way out of that mess.
Yeah? Well, for your sake and for Ellen's sake, I hope it works.
Thanks. So far, not wood. It's working fine. Around 4 o'clock, I went down to the corner telephone booth and called Marvin's wife again. I told her that he'd called in and said he'd be home for the rest of the day, or rather that he'd been gone on business. I hit that word, business, just right. After that, I found Marvin and told him I'd reserved him a room in the Bartlett, room 612. Then I asked Miss Brown to work overtime with me, and Marvin went over to the hotel. He called me the second he got into the room.
Hey, this place gives me the creeps.
Why?
You know what I found over here waiting for me?
No, what?
An orchid and a chilled bottle of wine.
Why, my, what'll Francis say?
Well, it's not funny. So many things have happened today that don't make sense.
Oh, I'm sure there must be a logical explanation for everything. Look, I'll drop over and we'll have a drink of that wine. Maybe we can figure this thing out, huh?
Yeah, do that, will you,
Dick? I went out to the front office and told Miss Brown to wake me in an hour, then I was going to take a snooze. Then I locked my office, went out the window, down the fire escape into the alley. It was 8:50. I had to be back at the desk when she knocked at 9:10. I made one stop. I bought a 60-cent tube of lipstick. By the time I got to the Bartlett, it was 9:14. The lobby was crowded. Nobody would remember me. It was exactly 9:10 when I knocked on Marvin's door.
Oh, Judy, come in. Well, the things that have happened tonight, it certainly got me confused.
Has it, Marvin?
Yes, it... What are you doing with that lipstick?
Just decorating a few cigarette stubs, Miss Glass.
Huh?
Sally has a good taste in lipstick, hasn't she?
Sally? Who? Sally? Dick, take that gun. What are you...
On my way down the hall, some guy opened his door and asked me if I heard pistol shots. I turned my head and said, yeah, I thought I did. I got back to the office building at 9:03. The gun was still in my pocket. I wasn't going to dump it any place where somebody would find it. I got into the basement of our building and ducked the gun behind one of the boilers. There was dust an inch thick on it. No one had been around there in 40 years. I got up to the office at 9:06. I took off my coat. I slumped down on my chair. I felt fine. And 4 minutes later, Miss Brown remembered me.
Hmm? Yeah? What is it?
10 after 9, Mr. Bond.
So soon, huh? Oh, gosh. Seems like I just closed my eyes.
And that's all there was to it. They found Marvin a couple of hours later, and there was a big investigation. But they never found a trace of the person they were looking for, a girl known only as Sally. Created quite a sensation, the sanctimonious Mr. Marvin Rice, murdered in a love nest. Everyone was so shocked. My wife, Ellen, couldn't get over it, and we all pitied poor dear Francis. Now, no one could understand it. But the guy who could understand it least of all was poor Inspector North, who'd been assigned to the case.
It's driving me nuts, Barnes. Dame doesn't just vanish in a puff of smoke, you know.
Still no trace of him.
Nothing. I trace back everything Rice did for the whole week up to the murder. Everywhere I turn, I see evidence of Sally, but not one person who ever saw her.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are you going to do?
What am I going to do? I don't care where I have to go or how long it takes. I'm going to keep looking for her. And I'll find her. You see if I don't.
And he did look for quite a while, too. And then he gave it up for fresher, less complicated murders. I became full owner of the company, and life was very good. That is, until 3 months ago. That morning, I came down to work, and Miss Brown, who was my secretary now, was waiting for me with a funny look on her face.
Mr. Barnes.
Yeah?
Someone called you last night after you left, and again this morning.
Yeah? Who?
Well, she said her name was Sally, Mr. Barnes.
Sally?
And that she had to see you sometime today.
Sally called? How could she? You're lying.
I'm not lying. Well, why should I lie?
How could it be Sally?
Don't you think you'd better go to the police, Mr. Barnes?
Police?
Well, wasn't Sally the name of the girl they think killed Mr. Rice?
Yes, yes. But I... Yes.
Dick, this is Ellen.
What do you want?
My goodness, you needn't bite my head off. I just called about the telegram.
A what?
The telegram you sent. I got it about an hour ago.
I didn't send a telegram.
But of course you did. Telling me you wouldn't be home tonight. I'll read it to you. Won't be home tonight. Busy on new camera.
When did you get that telegram?
I told you about an hour ago. But you must have sent it, dear. Your name is on it.
I don't care whose name is on it. I'll be home tonight. You understand? I grabbed a taxi and headed for the police department. I felt like a guy in the middle of a nightmare. What was going on? Well, that cop Norse was pretty smart. He'd find out who was behind this. And then it hit me right between the eyes. I couldn't go to the cops. Whoever was doing this knew that I'd killed Marvin. Hey, cabby, never mind the police station. Take me back to my office.
Well, Mr. Barnes, did you go to the police?
Huh? Yeah. They said they'll make a complete investigation.
She called again while you were gone.
Who?
Sally.
What does her voice sound like, Miss Brown?
Well, it's...
Does it sound like Ellen's or Mrs. Rice's? Oh,
no. Why should I...
All right, skip it. Any other calls?
Well, a couple of business calls and... Oh, yes. The Acme Ticket Agency.
Acme Ticket Agency?
Yes, they were able to get you 2 tickets to the Ice Follies. They'll hold them for you until 8 o'clock.
Oh, that's very kind of them, especially since I didn't order the tickets.
Well, then who did?
I don't know. I'll get it. Yes?
This is the room for Mr. Barnes' hotel. I'd like to speak to Mr. Barnes.
Mr. Barnes, what do you want?
You may just wish to confirm your reservation for tonight, Mr. Barnes.
My reservation?
Yes, room 612 will be available at your request.
612? But I didn't request anything.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Wait, yes. It slipped my mind, I'm sorry. Room 612 will be fine. I'll be there tonight. I had to go to the hotel and wait for Sally. Whoever Sally turned out to be. Because if I didn't, I'd never be safe again. But when my Sally came to the hotel tonight, she wouldn't find me shivering under the bed. She'd find me waiting with my gun. I went down to the boiler room of the office building and dug it out. 4 bullets left. Then I went out and had a couple of drinks. After that, I did a crazy thing. I went to the cemetery where Marvin was buried. He was still there, of course. And I felt like a jerk for even going. I got to the Bartlett Hotel lobby at 7:30 in the evening. The drinks were wearing off. I didn't feel any too good.
Here is your key to 612.
Thanks. Did Mrs. Barnes show up yet?
No, sir, she hasn't. But we sent the wine up just as you ordered.
Wine? Yeah, I kind of expected it would be there. When I got to the room, it really took plenty of courage not to just turn around and start running. But if I did that, I was through. Somebody knew what I'd done. Somebody knew the whole plan. Whoever it was coming here tonight. Probably to shake me down. I felt the gun in my pocket. There wouldn't be any shakedown. After the bellboy left, I looked around the room. I could feel my whole insides churning around like a washing machine. I saw some cigarette butts in the ashtray. There was lipstick on them.
Room clerk?
This is Mr. Barnes. Look, you told me no one had been up here in my room.
There hasn't been anybody, sir.
Don't lie to me. Who was it?
I beg your pardon, sir.
There's cigarette stubs in the ashtrays. They didn't get there by themselves.
No one's been up to your room, sir. The maid must have overlooked the ashtrays. You know, it's so hard to get efficient help.
I looked at my watch. It was 8:30. If everything went according to schedule, there'd be a knock on the door at 8:50, and then I'd know. I held the gun level, started for the door. But my legs weighed a ton. I'm coming, Sally. I'm coming.
Flowers for Mrs. Barnes, sir. The florist just delivered it, sir. Looks like an orchid.
It was an orchid, all right, and there was a card in it. And the card read, "To my Sally, without you, life has no meaning. Love." Only this time it was signed, Richard. I felt myself going to pieces. It was almost 8:40. Twice I went to the phone to call Detective Norris, but I couldn't go through with it. It would be like sticking my head into a noose. I started drinking the wine. That helped me a little. I broke the gun open. Everything was all right. I looked at my watch again, 8:55. I got up and went to the door. I opened it quickly and looked down the hall. The hall was empty. I closed the door. I was trembling like a dried-up old man. It was almost time. I took out the gun and put it on the bed. It was 8:50. One more minute, if Sally were to arrive on schedule. Picked up the gun. I held it with both hands. And I pointed it to the door. Okay. Okay. You asked for it. I don't know how long I just stood there, looking at the four bullet holes in the closed door. The empty gun was still in my hand. I walked to the door. Who would it be?
Okay, Barnes. Just hand over the gun.
Inspector Norris.
That's better.
Hey, wait.
Harry, take this down to the laboratory right away. Give you any odds you want, it's the gun that killed Marvin Rice.
Take your time. It's the gun. I killed him. That's the whole works, Inspector Norris, complete in every detail. Something for the reformers to worry about, isn't it? The menace of small signs nailed over cash registers. If it hadn't been for that, I'd never thought up Sally.
If it hadn't been for Sally, I'd never caught up with you.
What are you talking about? There isn't any Sally.
Yeah, I know, but it took me some time to realize that. Remember what I told you? Didn't care where I had to go or how long I had to look, I'd find her. Well, I looked so hard, I found you instead.
But how did you know about the telegram and the orchid and everything else?
It wasn't tough. I told you before, I checked back on everything that had happened to Rice for the whole week. When I realized there wasn't a Sally, I had to find another suspect. I chose you.
You turned my own plan against me.
That's right. It was a shot in the dark. When you didn't come to me for help after I started things going, I knew I hit the jackpot.
Oh, one last question, Professor. When did you find out there wasn't any Sally?
When I started tracing back in Marvin Rice's life.
Mm-hmm. So I slipped up, huh? Well, I should have known no one would believe a smug, sanctimonious bore like Marvin could ever have another woman.
Oh, but you're wrong there, Mr. Barnes.
Hmm?
I knew Sally was a fake because during the investigation we discovered the other woman. Her name wasn't Sally and she had a perfect alibi.
I'll get you.
The other woman's name was Ellen. Your wife, Mr. Barnes.
A creep that brings down the curtain on Dark Venture featuring Elliot Lewis. Tonight's performance in the Mystery Playhouse.
If you want to see more companies make things in America, consider buying more things from companies who are already doing that very thing. Companies like American Giant. These guys have been making t-shirts, sweatshirts, flannels, and blue jeans in America for the last 14 years, with cotton grown right here in the USA. That means good jobs for lots of hardworking Americans in factory towns all over the country. Check out their stuff in stores everywhere, or pick up something awesome at American-Giant.com.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now at Menards, save big money on everything for your next project. Countertops are the centerpiece of the home, with stylish options for every lifestyle and durability that will last for years to come. Transform everyday spaces into gathering places with custom craft countertops from Menards. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go on Menards.com and get a free design estimate today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for many other great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Avengers, presented by Wild Root Cream Oil for the Hair. Over the minds of mortal men come many shadows. Shadows of greed and hate, jealousy and fear. Darkness is the absence of light. So in the sudden shadows which fog the minds of men and women are to be found the strange impulses which urge them into the unknown. Dark Venture. Dark Venture is brought to you by the Wild Root Company, makers of Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair. But first, a word about a hair tonic that is the choice of men everywhere. South of the border, the girls say, Que guapo. North of the border, they say, How handsome. But everywhere, girls admire the man whose hair is groomed the Wild Root way. For Wild Root Cream Oil is famous for keeping your hair in trim the way girls like to see it, neat and natural. There's not a drop of alcohol in Wild Root Cream Oil. What's more, it contains lanolin. So get the big economy-sized bottle at your drug or toilet goods counter. And ask your barber for Wild Root Cream Oil, again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. And now tonight's Dark Venture.
Chase.
Sent you over to write a human interest story on old Pop Doran, did they, eh? Well, sit down, young man, sit down. Hey, why are you so nervous? Nothing to be nervous about here. Well, maybe you won't believe it, my boy, but I figure there isn't a more exciting place in the whole world than right here in this room. You know, there hasn't been a big newspaper store in this town for 38 years that I haven't known about in a way that nobody else could ever know. And all these years have proved one thing, my boy. No matter how we all bluster and strut, we're merely the toys of fate. Tim Porter and George Richards are the latest to prove what I mean. Tim, you know, was a big shot racketeer until they put him in the pen for 10 years. While he was gone, George took over the firm, and he did all right, too. Yeah, I know every part of the story. You see, I got my own ways of finding out. It began around 10:30, night before last. George was humming a song to himself as he stood before his dresser mirror, smoothing down his hair. Then he heard the outside door of his apartment open, but he didn't look up.
That you, Claire? I came early. I'll be right with you. Make yourself at home. Hey, what?
What's new, Georgie?
Tim.
Yeah.
Tim, how did you...
Don't you listen to the radio? I'm the man of the hour.
You broke out of prison.
Something like that.
Tim, you shouldn't have to find you.
How long do you think I was going to stay buried, Georgie? How long do you think I was going to eat that slop and look at the moon through steel bars?
But you shouldn't have come here, Tim. This is one of the first places to look for you.
I've always been a great believer in statistics. I figure I got about another hour before things get really tough. I want to spend that hour with you. Planning.
All right, Tim.
Try to get some enthusiasm into your voice, Georgie.
What do you mean by that?
It's not going to be easy taking orders again after being the big shot for so long, is it?
I just tried to hold things together for you, Tim.
Okay. Now you can step down. I'm taking over again.
But how? Every cop in the country will be looking for...
Money's a wonderful thing, Georgie. A buck in the right place is always worth miracles. I'll get along all right. And we'll talk about that later. Right now, I'm getting my feet and half starved. Run down to the restaurant and get me some sandwiches and coffee.
I'll call up and have the Cambridge kid bring something over.
Don't get it yourself. I don't want nobody coming up here.
But I don't...
You're used to taking orders anymore, are you, Georgie?
What's not that?
Look, you're right back where you started from when they fired me away. You're my number one boy. And that's all you are. Remember that, kiddo.
You shouldn't talk to me like that.
Look, I told you I was hungry. Two sandwiches and a pot of coffee. With plenty of cream.
Okay. Okay, Tim.
Don't feel too bad, Georgie. Some guys would give their right arm to be Tim Porter's number one boy.
Number one boy. Where does he get that stuff? I ran things better than he ever did, yeah. Don't have to take that from anyone.
What's it gonna be tonight?
Huh?
We got some good roast beef on the dollar dinner.
No. Here. Just want to use the phone over in the corner. Hello, listen. I know you're looking for Tim Porter. He's in the second floor apartment at 612 Grand Avenue, but you better get your cops over there right away if you want to catch him. Me? I'm Santa Claus.
That'll be a nickel.
Yeah. Now I'll have some service, waiter.
Yeah, what's it gonna be?
A cup of coffee.
Black.
George drank his coffee mighty slow, and then smoked a cigarette. And then he drank a cup of coffee. On his second cup, he heard the sirens. George was the only customer, so the waiter excused himself, went out to see what was going on. And when he came back a few minutes later...
Well, what'd you find out?
You know that guy who escaped from prison tonight, Tim Porter? Well, they got him trapped in an apartment just a couple of blocks from here.
Cars passed the other way. This time, the sirens were silent. George us will go away, except for a detective. We're just coming down the steps.
Oh, you, George Richards. I want to talk to you.
What's up?
You know what's up, Big Shot.
No, a guy on the street told me every cop in the city was here a while ago. Something wrong?
You know your pal Tim Porter escaped from prison tonight?
That's so? Cigarette? No. Okay, I don't want myself. Yeah, I heard about that. I also heard his escape didn't last so long. I heard you boys found him again, right in this neighborhood.
You heard wrong, Richards. We got a tip he was up in your apartment, but it was a phony. He's still at large. Hey, you better blow that match out. You're going to burn yourself.
Well, George didn't have to worry about hiding that smile anymore. Somehow he got rid of the detective. Somehow he got upstairs near the apartment. Somehow he even poured himself a good drink. But the way his hand shook, most of the drink spilled out. Didn't matter, though. Before he could get it to his lips, phone started ringing. George just stood there, middle of the dark apartment. Like the way the phone had paralyzed every nerve of his body. He waited for the phone to stop ringing. But it kept right on. As though whoever was at the other end of the line, the man was there. Finally...
Who is it?
Hello, Georgie.
Tim. Boy, was I worried.
Worried?
Yeah, somebody tipped off the cops that you were up here in my apartment. I told you shouldn't have come here, Tim. I thought you would have got you. Am I glad you got away? I just about went nuts when I saw those police cars leaving. You still on the phone, Tim?
Yeah, sure. It ain't polite to interrupt somebody when they're talking. You all through talking, Georgie?
Huh? Sure. Sure, boss.
Boss? You ain't called me boss in a long time. Yeah, it sounds good.
How'd you get away from him?
I worked it.
I'm sure glad you called me to tell me everything's okay.
Now, that's not why I called you, Georgie.
No?
What time is it?
Huh? About 20 after 11. Why, boss?
Sometime between now and morning, I'm going to kill you.
Kill me? What's the gag?
You were the only one who knew I was at your apartment.
No, wait a second. You don't think that
I... You're the only one who could have called the cops.
Oh, but I swear I didn't, boss. I swear I didn't.
As soon as you hang up this phone, you better start running, Georgie.
Oh, listen to me. You got it all wrong.
No matter where you run, remember this. You won't get away from me.
Oh, let me explain to you, boss.
You won't get away from me.
Boss, listen to me. Hello.
George hurried to the closet where he kept his gun. He went open the closet door, looked on the top shelf.
Not here. He took it. I should have known.
George rushed to the window that looked down in the backyard. In the dim light of a street lamp, he saw the garage door wide open. His car was gone. Tim had taken it too. The voice, like a whisper in his brain.
You won't get away from me.
Huh?
You won't get away from me.
George spun around as if expecting Tim to be actually in the room with him. But of course, the room was empty.
You won't get away from me.
The rest of the guys, they'll stick by me. I've been on the square with them. They'll help me. Yeah. I'll call John right now. I'll tell him what Tim's trying to do. The boys will stick by me. You still remember how Tim used to push them around, too. I always treated them fine.
Hello?
Oh, hello, John. This is George. I just heard... John? John? He hung up. He never did that before. Mikey, this is George.
What do you want, George?
You know, Tim broke loose tonight.
Yeah. The boss told us what you did.
Oh, but listen, I did...
We're all looking for you. If we
find you, we're going to give you to Tim for a present.
Yeah, that's how it went. One call after another. They were all Tim signed. Now that tumor started going through George's head again.
You won't get away from it.
Huh? What am I hearing?
You won't get away from it.
Tim. Tim.
You won't get away from me.
We'll return to our story as soon as Harry Wallstrom has a word with the men.
Then here's important news on good grooming. Better than 4 out of 5 new users of Wild Root Cream Oil say they prefer Wild Root Cream Oil to all other hair tonics. Here is new and even more conclusive evidence that Wild Root Cream Oil is again and again the choice of men who put good grooming first. So if you want the well-groomed look that helps you get ahead socially and on the job, listen. Recently, thousands of people from coast to coast who bought Wild Root Cream Oil for the first time were asked, how does Wild Root Cream Oil compare with the hair tonic you previously used? The results were amazing. Better than 4 out of 5 said they preferred Wild Root Cream Oil. And no wonder. Wild Root Cream Oil gives you the advantages that men consider most important. Wild Root Cream Oil grooms your hair neatly and naturally. It relieves annoying dryness and it removes loose, ugly dandruff. What's more, non-alcoholic Wild Root Cream Oil is the only leading hair tonic that contains soothing lanolin. So ask for Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first.
Now back to our dark venture for tonight.
Chase.
George Witch's last night just proved my theory about fate watching us from the sidelines and laughing at us and our big plans. Well, I guess you're wondering what part I played in all this, since I know so much about it, eh? Well, I played a mighty important part. Maybe you can figure out what it was, huh? When George realized the rest of the gang were on Tim Porter's side, he knew there was only one thing left for him to do. Get out of town fast. So, at 1:20 in the morning, he began looking for some way to escape.
I want to rent a car. Yeah, any good car. Yeah, for just a couple of days. I don't care what it costs. Can you take care of me? Swell. How long are you open? All night? Okay.
George hurried to his bedroom to pack a few clothes in a suitcase. And as he ransacked his dresser, he happened to glance into the dresser mirror. He'd aged 10 years in the last hour. His face was drawn, deathly pale. His eyes glittered like the eyes of a trapped animal.
The doorbell. Who could that be at this time of the night? Let's take a look. It's Mikey's car. They come for me. I gotta get out of here.
George went to the back door of the apartment. No one was there. He hurried down the steps. Then suddenly...
There he is! You won't get away from me.
Finally, he came out of the alley into a side street. He'd escaped them. But for how long?
You won't get away from me.
Yes, what can I do for you, mister?
I talked to you on the phone a while ago about renting a car.
Oh, yes, yes, I remember. Well, I think I can take care of you.
Good.
You won't be taking it out of town, will you?
No, just in the city, but I need it right away.
All right. Oh, I told you about the deposit. It's going to take quite a bit.
That's all right.
Okay. Now, if I can see your driver's license, just for identification, of course.
Yeah. Here it is.
Okay, let's see. George Richards. Richards? Oh,
what's wrong?
Well, I'm sorry I had you come way out here for nothing, Mr. Richards.
What?
On second thought, I was wrong about that car. I haven't got a thing on the lot that will do you any good.
What are you talking about? You just told me...
I haven't got a thing, Mr. Richards.
What are you trying to pull? My dough's as good as anybody else's.
It's not that. But renting you a car would be pretty risky.
What do you mean by that?
Well, there's no reason why I shouldn't tell you. In my business, I got to keep my ear pretty close to the ground, as they say. And according to what I hear, well, by morning you're going to be a dead man, Mr. Richards.
So George was right back where he started, with Till and all the boys looking for him. Now he began going around all the hideouts that the boys had used in the old days. The little side street hotels and dark rooming houses. Anywhere they might hide until tomorrow.
Not me, George. I can't help you. You know why. The cops were after you. It'd be different. But it's Tim Porter, and if he found you here, he'd skin me alive.
Just for tonight, Charlie. Just for tonight.
I'm sorry, George.
Well, this is a nice surprise for the middle of the night, Mr. Richards. To what does the police department owe the pleasure of this visit?
Look, Inspector, you got to help me.
Help you?
Tim's going to kill me before morning. Put me in a cell. Do anything but help me.
Relax. Now, it's not becoming for such an important member of our community to whimper like this. Now, just why is Tim going to kill you? I thought you were his right-hand man.
I'm the one who called in that tip tonight about him being in my apartment.
Is that right?
Yeah, and he knows about it, so he's going to kill me. You see, I was trying to help you guys, so it's only right that you should try to help me.
Trying to help us, huh? How stupid do you think we are, Richard?
Huh? What do you mean?
That tip was as phony as this act you're putting on.
But you're wrong. Yeah, I tell you.
Now that we know pretty close to where Tim was when that tip came through, we thought it was on the level.
Well, it was on the level.
I don't think so. I think you called to throw us off the trail long enough for Tim to reach his hideout.
Oh, I tell you, you're wrong.
And when you go back to Tim, you tell him that 500 cops are out looking for him, and that when we find him, he'd better be awful polite. Now get out of here.
No.
Get out of here.
Please, Inspector.
I don't get out of here.
His enemy. Every shadow, every sudden sound could mean violent death.
Brother? What do you mean, sneaking up on me like that?
Help Brian, brother.
Oh. Yeah, here.
Bless you, brother.
Yeah, thanks. You could use it.
See that car parked by the curb? I didn't notice that before.
Somebody inside.
What are they waiting for? Maybe that's Tim and the others. Maybe they spotted me. I better get out of here.
In a parked car, two lovers clung together, quite sure that this was the best of all worlds. George's footsteps drank just a little. All the strain of long night was catching up with him. Breathed heavier. Glands were like chunks of wood. Strength left him. Then he saw the entrance of a subway station.
Subway. There wouldn't dare bother me on a subway train. Maybe I even get some sleep.
So George started down the steps. But the subway was dark and empty. And halfway down, he was suddenly stopped by a barricade of ropes and lumber. Near to the barricade was a sign. George could barely read it by the dim light in the street above.
Closed for repairs. Passenger service at 56th Street. 56th Street? That's 10 blocks from here. How do you like that? Even the lousy subway won't give me a break. 10 blocks through those dark streets with Tim up there looking for me. Oh, no. I'm going down there. I'm through being pushed around. Even the subway. That's one for the books. Okay, I can get through now.
The darkened platform is completely deserted. No corner saw a bench. He stumbled toward it and sank down. He was exhausted.
So tired.
His head drooped. His mind spun into darkness.
dead man, Mr. Richards.
Dead man? No, no.
When we find you, we're going to give you the Tim for a present.
Hey, listen, Mike.
Go on, get out of here with that phony story.
Well, Inspector, you got to believe
me. You won't get away from me.
George woke suddenly.
What?
First, he didn't know why. Then he realized someone was coming down the subway steps.
He's down here. I spotted him coming in about an hour ago.
You sure it's him?
Pretty sure.
They found me. Sit quiet. Don't make a sound.
Turn your light around.
Okay.
He's here somewhere.
George watched the beam of light edge toward him, then creep away and return, searching for him. He crouched down, his lips trembled. Then suddenly the light was full in his face.
There he is. So we finally caught up with him.
No, you're not taking me to Tim.
I'm warning you. Okay.
I think I got him. Down there at the end of the platform.
George watched them come closer. He tried to sit up and toppled over. He tried to crawl away, but it was useless.
You won't get away from me. You won't get away from me.
No, I didn't get away, Tim. You win it. I didn't get away.
Man, looks like he's hit pretty bad. You better get him out of here.
Hey, Bill, look at this guy.
Huh?
He doesn't look like the description of the one we're after.
He must be. What's he doing down here?
I don't know, Bill. I hope you didn't make a mistake.
I don't start that. You know as well as I, the company gave us orders. Get the thief who's been breaking in down here.
Wait.
That's what they said.
Wait.
I only followed orders.
Wait. Thief. Orders. Ain't you guys working for Tim?
Hey, Bill. Who's this? Tim he's talking about.
How should I know?
Come on. Help me with it.
No, wait. Wait. You're not working for Tim. He didn't get me after all. I did get away.
Bill, look, he's dead.
Well, about an hour later, 5 o'clock, the ambulance boys brought him down here. And then I played my part in the story, like I said.
What do you want him, Pop?
Yeah, put him over there. Need that other one.
Okay. Two within the last couple hours. This morgue, getting to be the busiest place in the whole city.
Yeah, my job down here at the morgue might sound pretty depressing and dull, but it really isn't, young fella. Kind of makes you philosophical after a while, like Tim Porter's boast and how George thought it hadn't worked out, but it did work out. Well, you see, that other body, the ambulance guy talked about, was Tim Porter. He'd been ambushed and shot to death at 3:30 in the morning, 10 miles from the subway where George was sleeping. Yep, but George didn't really get away from Tim after all. There they are, lying side by side.
Next week at the same time, the Wild Root Company, makers of Wild Root Cream Oil for the Hair, will bring you another original Dark Venture story. In the meantime, remember, the man who makes the best impression is the man who puts good grooming first. And you can do that, fellows, by using Wild Root Cream Oil. This grand non-alcoholic hair tonic is again and again the choice of men who put good grooming first. And here's why Wild Root Cream Oil is so popular. It gives a man everything he wants in a hair tonic, grooms his hair neatly and naturally, relieves dryness, and removes loose dandruff. What's more, Wild Root Cream Oil contains soothing lanolin that's so much like the oil of your skin. And remember, no other leading hair tonic gives you all of these advantages. So take Wild Root's FM test. If you find signs of dryness or loose dandruff, you need Wild Root Cream Oil again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. On the next Tuesday, remember, smart girls use Wild Root Cream Oil, too, for quick, good grooming and to relieve dryness between permanents. Mothers say it's great for training children's hair. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples, too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.